Everybody, welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're live on WWCR 5070 around the world with the Jewel of the South transmitting the message of the Shepherd's Call. Well, part three, going into the first fruits, and you don't want to miss tonight. We're going to get into the actual 144,000 and show you how this, actually it's amazing how the mind of our Creator works. I am always amazed at His foreknowledge and intelligence. You say, well, of course. But ladies and gentlemen, to broadcast in Scripture some of these prophetic prophecies, as He declared the end from the very beginning, it is amazing. And this is one of the most intriguing subjects in the Bible. It actually, if you will study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, study, pray, fast, do your homework. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something here. If you miss heaven and you have an opportunity to make it, and then you miss it, you haven't missed it all. You will regret that decision. This is why it's so important. The Bible says that your soul is so valuable and it's precious. And yet there has to be choices made in your life. Here at this critical stage, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and since you reject knowledge, I will reject you. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to hear Him say, depart from me. You workers, now there was workers, but they worked for the wrong name, number one, and they worked for the process of the denominational system, which is an offshoot. Jumping on the frying pan, as I said before, and got into the fire of the Baal worship. Now, what's Baal worship, Pastor Buddy? Well, it's something that Israel has been prone to do in the past history of the trail of the lost 10 tribes, along with the exclusion in 586 B.C., of the house of Judah up into the captivity for 7 years. And then, here's the amazing thing, now listen to me quite well. Only a remnant returned to the land of Israel. This is for seed sake now, and for the prophecies that Yah would never like to have a king to sit before Him. Well, the majority, the large majority. See, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at the prophecy of Jacob, Israel overall, she was to become a great people as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Well, this little geographical box of sand, I call it the sandbox, and that's not in, to degrade it any, it was a place where that they wandered for 40 years before they were allowed to go into this little small stretch of land that was not as big as half the size of the state of Texas. A very small place. And so then the prophecies of this great expansion ideal that the Father had in Genesis chapter 12, fulfilled by the covenant principles of Genesis 15, where he gave that promise that these children would become a mighty force in the earth. Well, that happened through the expulsion of the 10 tribes in 721 B.C. You see, the major body of the house of Israel had already been excluded because of the breaking of the covenant. Well, it was actually a design plan, and this is what amazes me about our Father. Well, he said that they would go into the isles among the heathen. Well, that's exactly where they went. They went into the British Isles. Brit is covenant people. Ish is the sons of the son, Isaac, of the promise. And this is the seed line of the Caucasian. Remember, it was the seed of Seth. Now, the seed of Seth was not Jewish. I like to Shem. It was not Jewish. And neither was Abraham a Jew. And believe it or not, neither was Jacob the father of the 12 sons that grew up in this little sandbox area and began to disperse for various reasons of covenants to fulfill. Well, it was the 10 tribes. Only the house of Judah and the house of Benjamin remained in 586, along with a small contingent of the people who were left in the land, who were not capable of exiling, and these were known up in the northern kingdom of Galilee. This was heathen country by the time that Christ was to be called a Galilean. The Jews, the dominant Sanhedrin court, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees that operated the Sanhedrin court system, they looked at the people of the north as scum, having no covenant, having no authority to operate the Israel proper. They were a proud people, these Judeans, as we call them, but weeded not out, but in, weaving into this segment of people was the remnant. And the prophet Isaiah cried out concerning Israel when he said, except Yahweh of Sabaoth had left us a seed, then we would have become as Sodom and Gomorrah, vanishing from the earth. But the mastermind, along with the master plan, gave a direction that the major body would already be out of the land. Now, let's go back to the 144,000. What's that got to do, Pastor Buddy, with tonight's message? Well, we're going to tell you tonight exactly what the 144,000 consisted of, who they were, when they were taken out in a rapture-style resurrection to go into heaven and become the bride. We're going to look at the bride in heaven tonight in the Book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 19, or chapter 19, and the verses concerning the bride. We're going to look at those verses in those two chapters. Well, we're going to look at the covenant promise of Revelation 21 and the final promise of Revelation 22, when he promised that as the offspring downline of David, not only did he offspring from David's bloodline, he also was the progenitor of that bloodline. This is the most amazing thing in the whole Bible. The scarlet thread, as I call it, as we walk through the Bible looking at the times of trouble. One of these troubles is recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of Yahweh appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Well, now, this is a symbolic prophecy uttered when the prophecies out of Egypt, as they said in the book of Hosea, that out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, let's look at that prophecy, because that was pertaining to the house of Israel. Remember, it was the son's seed, Jacob, the son of Yah. And when I say that within and within the truth that Jacob was literally an offspring of the blood of Yahweh, because Isaac was an offspring of the bloodline of Yahweh. Now we're looking at a protected, a hidden, a very secretive bloodline in the earth. And when Christ came, he alluded to this very fact when he said, my sheep are not of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an astounding prophecy that he gave a people, a peculiar people, a zealous people, of good works, a conscious people, people that can bless, a people that's not interested in doing evil, but are only interested in doing good. Now, for the goods that they do and the services that they have provided for history, we find this Caucasian race of people, as they have been dispersed into the earth and throughout the earth, hidden like a needle in a haystack. Oh, this is so marvelous that this people could be hidden right in front of the very enemy. In this case, Herod was jealous and wanted to kill the child. Well, instead of killing the child as he went on a rampage, a slaughter, as it is recorded here in the book of Matthew, as we're going to go into some of the in-depth prophecies that is written about what happened here when the birth of the Messiah, known as Jesus in the English Bible, known as Yahweh Shua, Yahweh the Savior, come in a flesh body and laid down his life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, nobody or nothing took his life. He volunteered his body that contained the Holy Shekinah Spirit. This Spirit dwelled in him, and the last thing to leave that body and the first thing to get back in the body was the Holy God of Israel. God is a spirit, John 4:24. And the spirit doth not have flesh and bone, but in this case, it adopted this flesh body as the vehicle that God dressed and veiled himself in a flesh body, he undressed in the resurrection, and gave that body for the sins, not of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you to do your homework, as Pastor Bay is trying to persuade you to search the scriptures. If you'll actually look at the reality of John 3:16, which is the favorite denominational scripture of the Christian church today, when they falsely proclaim this verse of scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is not original text. This is an added to the text after the fact by someone who desired, instead of being a chosen people out of the earth, a family taken out of the earth to be sheep that were born from above, not on the earth as the denominational system, they are born new again. But the Bible said you must be in the original text now, that you must be born in John chapter 3, verse 4. You must be born from above, not again. There's no text to support the again theory of salvation. You've either got it or you don't have it. You were born with it. You were chosen as was Jeremiah, as was Enoch, as was all of the apostolic brethren, pre-chosen before the foundation of the world, brought into the world for the very purpose of proving themselves worthy to go back to whence they had already been. And this is an amazing revelation that the sheep are not of this world. I'm going to repeat that now, and you just grasp this, because we're going to talk about the 144,000 little sheep that were the first fruits that were taken out of the earth after he rose in Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. They followed him out, the 144,000. These were redeemed from the earth, and all of them were beheaded, as I said in part 2. If you get the picture here, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see the deception of this rapture theory of a people that is proclaiming that the 144,000 are on this earth at this moment. That is a lie of the devil. It's not true. It's false doctrine. They tickle the ear by the itching ears of the prophets that have wound this up into a form and a fashion, and lied. These lying prophets, like foxes on the desert, howling out as these jackals, these vipers, these reptilian stand-ins for preachers of righteousness. They're not righteous, but they'll preach the righteousness of the law, not understanding, or the grace of the New Testament, not understanding the true and the truth of the purpose of the covenant of a people who are not of this world. Now, how could Yahweh love the world when he suggested that you didn't love him? He that loves the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. Now, how could he love something and ask you to do so and compass land and sea to make these proselytes where Yahweh didn't tell you to go to? You make them twofold more than a child. I know I make the preachers mad. They sit back like little scared pythons under a log, and they won't scurry out till you lift the rock, and that's when you're acting, well, I've got the rock lifted, and the light is looking in. The scripture says they, these are the harlots, they're hard to preach this doctrine that seems right, feels good, and it indeed has a show of godliness, but it denies the power, and from such turn away. And the Bible said, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. You see, this cleanliness that John seen in Revelation 17, of this great whore system set up on the earth to bring in a false name that has no proof back to the Old Covenant Testament. That's why these preachers lay low when Pastor Buddy gets on the air. You know why? Because I have offered some of these scumbags that have written me and challenged me on certain points to openly debate me live on WWCR around the world. You know why they won't? Afraid of being exposed as ministers of darkness and challenged by the authority of the Holy Ghost. That is a flaming fire invested in the mouth of the prophets who will proclaim not a Semite way, not a Semite doctrine, but a doctrine that will stand when the world's on fire. This is the Alpha Omega doctrine. This is the Aleph and Toph doctrine. And in between those two, the Holy Spirit has anointed me in the last days to preach the revelation of the covenant sons of the house of Israel and set the record straight in the last days. Did you know that the Bible is prophetic in Romans 11, 25 and 26? That there is going to come a movement in the last days. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not in the last days, people running to and fro. I mean, some of these babblers that gets up and sails gold on, oh, you better look out. You know, the sky's falling. Chicken littles. And all this rhetoric that they go through to ask you to send them money, though they can pile it up as a witness against them in the last day. If I believe what these preachers were saying, I wouldn't get on the air. I wouldn't bother to get on the air because they're such a short time fatalistic in their application of a false doctrine that they want to become known as prophets. And the Bible said, the presumption of the prophets that speak falsely will be proven in time. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. We are at a point where the foxes are howling like barking jackals. And what they do, they bring the same life. We're in the end time. People are scared. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn to. And you can preach the gospel in living sweat of your brow. You can proclaim the written, interpreted, and rightly divided scripture aspect, and they will cast that to the ground, and they'll believe some false prophet that wants to huddle up on or run to a cave or run to some kind of a mountaintop and wait for the second coming. Oh my, we've been through so much of this. These howling jackals out here on the plains of Babylon. They're not standing on Mount Zion. If they was, they would be proclaiming the written word of God. Did you know that the Messiah, when he was challenged, and when he came to his greatest hour, when the challenge from Lucifer came, he was met with nothing but the written word of God. Well, what's wrong with it today? Pastor Buddy preaches you the Word of God. I give you the prophetic scriptures and I give you the interpretation of the 144,000 and these false prophets come out. Well, that's to be. God is going to get 144,000 off of this earth. And they're going to go around and preach. You can't preach with your head cut off. These 144,000 were beheaded. You say, well, that's after the fact. Well, if it is, then we've got to get them up into heaven where we see them in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelations. We got to get them in there. And if that's the case, we're going to have to install or instill another resurrection that is not supported by the written word of God. Now, let me give you the formula. Man, I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. Did you know that faith comes by hearing? And that you've got to have your understanding of all of the traditional ways. The Bible said, full well, you reject the commandments of God to keep your tradition. Well, does that apply today? Well, Pastor Buddy, I'm just a good old Baptist boy. Glory to God. I love Jesus. Well, I'm sure you do. They love Baal. And they were dancing to the music of Baal or the doctrine of Baal. And that's all we're getting out of this denominational whore system. With the harlots involved, with these false prophets braying like dumb jackasses on the scene when the true prophets of Yahweh are hated and despised and cast down. Now, we can't get more than an hour. Dr. Gary and I were talking about our inability to get more radio time. We've got brothers that's working. These are poor brothers. These are hardworking brothers that support. We are a blue-collar ministry, if you will. Not many rich, not many noble, not many wise and conceited in the traditional things that they teach for years and years and years, it seems like. We don't get many of those. And we get these nickel and dime redneck boys that come in here. And I emphasize redneck because that's who we appeal to. That's who we're preaching to. We're preaching to those that can blush from the neck up. And show blood in the face of a covenant people who were like David. You know, some of these false prophets and praying jackasses and jackals are howling in the wind would suggest to you that Christ was black. Or perhaps he was yellow. Ladies and gentlemen, let's wake up to reality. His head was white. He came from a blushing family. I don't have to look too far into history or into the Bible to understand that he had a complexion as was a milk. And the Bible says that he had a ruddy complexion, blood in the face. And oh, how it excludes rather than includes all of the peoples of the world, and Yahweh said, I chose you out of the world to be the fewest people in the earth. What's this got to do with 144,000, Pastor Buddy? Choices, ladies and gentlemen. And let me assure you tonight, by the living and the written word of God, that these 144,000 were out of the 12 tribes only of Israel. I'm going to repeat that for all of those who think that God incorporated a universal appeal to the heathen and to invite them to his supper and to his marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, would you believe that our Messiah, our Creator, Yahweh, in a flesh body, prophesied years ago, thousands of years ago, that only one people was his choice? And it's not a multiracial, multi-covenant people. It is exclusively to the house of Jacob. And to them, Yahweh said, go only among the heathen now. Go to the heathen. Go out among the Gentiles. Of Revelations, back to the book of Matthew, you will find that they exclusively went out and compelled those who were of lack blood. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible said he has made of all of us one blood. Oh, no, that's been added to the text. It's not in the original Greek. Look it up. The word one blood is something of choice of the translators rather than the actual word of God. Would God command them to go to the house of Jacob, one royal blood, the king children, the children, the sheep, and then on the way stop off and start this other appeal to other people, which the Bible doesn't authorize or give any authority to do so. Well, in this, well, I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. I wish if there was a wish list that I could get on, and some of you Christmas believers wouldn't mind me saying this word. It's not in the Bible. Wish is a wanting word. So I would want. Let me change that and strike out the word wish for all of you correctors that's going to write me letters about, well, you know, Pastor Buddy this and Pastor Buddy that. Folks, I have to speak in a common language to a common people to get the common message over to the common man that we talk in the simplistic English. And I hate to do that in some cases because in doing so, we use words that are not of our choice. But some of these Yahweh's people go overboard in trying to force to exclude words that should be included through understanding of English language. I'm talking to you in English. If I talk to you in Hebrew, probably 99% of my listening audience wouldn't understand what I'm talking about, and I would be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal blowing on the trumpet, and you don't know the sound to go to war. I'm at war right here tonight. In my message, I'm giving you a wartime message of a separation from the world. He does not love the world. He only loved these 144,000 because they were a bride type. You see in John 3, as I told you, actually John 3:29, John alluded and prophesied and gave a witness that the bridegroom had stepped out of eternity from heaven came, and he came as a bridegroom. Well, we got these local yokel jackals howling in the wind, proclaiming that Christ is going to return to get the bride. Ladies and gentlemen, if he didn't get a bride in the first resurrection, he got stood up at the altar and there wasn't no marriage supper in heaven that you're going to be invited to. If he don't have the bride, then we're not as it is in Luke chapter 12, verse 36. He said, for us, the children of the bride and the bridegroom, to be as those that watch for when he returns from the wedding, not to return and get a bride in a wedding. Let me give you a scripture again for those of you that, you know, some of you poor folks, bless your hearts, you've been so dumbed down and so ignorant and fearful and superstitious with all this false doctrine and all these false prophets bringing out here like jackals for sheeples. Brother Eli James, you can use that word sheeples, and it sort of reminded him, and Pastor Dan was a laborer in the gospel, and he said, yeah, they like those sheeples. Well, that's exactly right. I agree 100% that these preachers are not preaching the divine covenant revelation, which is a hard saying. You know, I could include rather than exclude all these other pagan names and bring them into existence, and I could get a large, I could be on more radio time if I use the false name. If I use the name that seemed right, if I tickled ears, if I just sit around and told little foolish tales, little kid milk stuff, if I just messed around in that, instead of giving you the raw, unadulterated truth and put it on your table and give you a knife to cut it with, which is the gospel, and to rightly divide it and bring in your understanding about the 144,000. Now listen to who he's coming back for. You preachers, you false, bring it, maybe you're not false, maybe you're honest, and maybe you were sincere. To that, I apologize for those who are sincere. Those who are sincere are in sin. You see, being sincere ain't going to get you home. Being in the truth will get you there, so quit being sincere and start hearing the word. I'm tired of you crying and moaning and groaning. You get up and you blow and snort around like a bunch of jackals, henpecked men. Don't even have the authority of your own household, let alone running the house of Yah. I know when I go into a church, who's in charge? Most of the time, it's the preachers who have censored out the truth to keep their own little isms and schisms and schemes going. But when a man of Yah was anointed with the cloth of the Holy Ghost, when he walks into a gathering, and it's not and build on a solid foundation, you'll see him take the 9-pound hammer. And this are the 9 spiritual applications of the guilt of the Holy One with the 5 signs of following a believer. And they'll bring down these denominational and scriptural foundations of thought that's out of the mind of the 23rd chapter of these brand jackasses as they howl in these boxes and snort and cut themselves and pray to a false god in a pagan manner. Keeping the pagan holidays along with it. Let your lines be girded about and your lights burning. Luke 12:35. I'm going to read you verse 36. And you yourselves liken unto men, not children. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we've grown up and become men. The children are on milk. It's time that we got some meat eaters. Call me up tonight and tell me if I'm preaching the gospel. If I am, support it. If I ain't, you get on here and you preach the truth. But let it be known, you will be open for scrutiny. And the word of God, quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword, which will stop the mouth of the filthy gain-takers of the prophets of Babylon. I've been in so many debates about the truth with these seem-right preachers. When you bring the living, written word of Yah, it's so strange to the ears of the congregation that they have something. Well, I have to think about what you said. I've never heard that before. You know why I haven't heard it? Because these filthy gang takers have sat in these pews and they've corroded over with their tradition, and their foolish mind, professing themselves to be wise, have become fools and have turned, for filthy lucre's sake, into tinkling brass and the symbols of a Babylonian confusion. Put them all in the sight and shake them, and it doesn't matter who comes out. It's all the J-name preachers. Or they all tumble out of the sack with the Jesus, Jesus. Oh, that's the name up after, buddy. You don't get on that. You're getting on it. No wonder you don't get no support. Glory to God, because 99% of us is Jesus' name people, and you make us all mad. That's right. And I'm telling you, if you don't repent, you're going to have a long time somewhere to get glad. But in that day, when you hear and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Doesn't necessarily mean that the majority has got it right, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to take a look at the rejected name that's written 5,823 times, where you can read it in the Hebrew Bible, where it's been properly translated into the English, and I didn't see any J's in there. Uh-oh. Gate time. Gate trouble! For all you filthy looker preachers, take your filthy looker and go straight to hell. With all nations that forget God, where you deserve it to go and gather up with all of your polywowsies and your ear-tickling messages, ladies and gentlemen, they will be burning ears. They will be burning hearts. They will be itching for the light of the gospel and none given where they're going, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched and the eternal darkness reserved for them forever. You yourselves should be like the Messiah said, that you wait for your master when he shall return from the wedding. You see, he ain't coming back to wed a bride. He's already got the bride in the first resurrection, 144,000, all of them beheaded. All of this righteous blood shed for the great name of Yahweh. When he came to claim a bride of 144,000, every one of them beheaded and every one of them Israelites. And I challenge any preacher, if you're sitting out there, speak now, forever hold your peace. Why don't you come on and we'll get it on. WWCR Live 5070 on Sunday night with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to be accountable for what you can read, not what you think. What you think can get you in trouble. What you can read will deliver you if you will obey it, and it becomes a hard saying, and broad as the way. Wide as a gate of the Babylonian whore and her harlots proclaiming a false name, and the 144,000, oh my heavens, I just desire to have 2 or 3 hours to preach. I have to control myself. I've only got an hour. And it goes by so fast that I don't even get one third of my thoughts. I have to go so fast and cover so much that my thinking and my spiritual application is so far ahead of my actual words that I hope and trust that I don't lay too much meat on your table for you to consume. If you are just a little child or a little lamb, I apologize to you for being so aggressively in proclaiming the raw, naked truth of the gospel, which is able to save them that believe. But it's time. This is the end time, ladies and gentlemen. If you're 60 years old and you're still on milk, there's something wrong. The Bible said, seek Yahweh in your youth. Well, well, Pastor Buddy, I worked over at Boeing Aircraft, and Lord of God, I got a retirement plan, my vision's getting a little bit bad now, and I can't hardly read so good, but boy, I do like to hear you preach the gospel. Yeah, and you set on your fortune. You wouldn't give one red cent to support the truth. But you love the truth you proclaim. Now, how could you be that way when Pastor Buddy's poor and naked, depending on the gospel for a living, and the Bible said a workman's worthy is higher? Well, I don't believe in preaching and getting money for it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know the money bag that Judas toted around in the apostolic ministry of the Messiah himself. They had a treasurer. He was in charge of the money bag. Did you know that people gave in to the Messiah's ministry? And everyone that did sowed a seed into the progressive time, even today, that truth is hurled around the world. Here it is. I have less than 20 nickel and dime redneck supporters. And you rednecks, don't take offense, because I mean that in a very loving, spiritual way. And if you can blush, you are one of the blessed sheep that the message of the shepherd's call is going out to tonight. I need your help. I could give me radio time. I'll preach the gospel. I'm not afraid to preach the gospel. For to die is gain. If they kill me for preaching it, that's gain. But if I live, I'm going to live for the man that I'm proclaiming. And he alone. I don't proclaim two gods or two saviors, and I don't confuse the issues here and throw two names in the mix. How long will you be halted between two opinions? Oh, Pastor Buddy, I just believe the New Testament is just like God wrote it. Glory to God. Then you get them to preach about the false Catholic Church. Ladies and gentlemen, this church had the New Testament under wraps for 1,500 years, and you better wake up to what name they changed. They rejected the true name of Yah and inserted, somebody pray for me out there, praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing. Somebody is praying for Pastor Payne. And I deeply feel this great Shekinah truth anointing. Well, if I have the time to get into the depth and the meat of this message, and I could open up the allegories and the types and the shadows of this prophetic utterance of Rachel weeping for her children. And I weep tonight for the children of Rachel who are blind and dumb and traditionized, that they can't open their ears and their eyes to receive the gospel. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have to hammer a long time to break the spell that Satan has cast upon the house of Israel and the people, the sheep, the true sheep, that came from heaven to prove themselves. Oh, hallelujah. Well, here it is. I want you to liken yourself when the master will return from the wedding. Ladies and gentlemen, that wedding happened after the first resurrection. He married his wife as he took her into heaven, and the heavens proclaimed, and they sang the song that Moses said in the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah, who was sawn in asunder, cut up in pieces, for preaching this message, that together with my dead body, a future time in the book of Isaiah, when you look into the future, when Rachel was weeping for the children, as the 144,000 little infants, males, every one of them, got up as a bride type in the first resurrection, and they went into heaven following the Messiah. And then the bridal chamber after the marriage was made ready, and they made sweet love. And on the day of Pentecost, sons and daughters, not bride type, but sons and daughters of the bride and the bridegroom, which is in heaven, now manifest in the Holy Ghost upon the earth, when she brought forth sons and daughters, singing the songs of Mount Zion. The 144,000 that awoke with him in the first resurrection were the only ones that could learn the song. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a fulfillment of the prophetic utterance of the seed of Rachel weeping as she saw the future event. She said, well, looking back on it, it's past tense. In other words, it was already happening back then. Rachel was weeping for the seed that went down into Egypt. Yeah, prophetic but allegorical, constricting and going forth as a marching truth to future generations. You see, Yahweh will not only type and shadowed it back to the actual happens, and the Bible said the law is a schoolmaster. But when you get done with your schooling in the New Testament, 2 and 2 is 4, and you can't put it together up there that the Father came out with a different name an English name or a name that wasn't even in Scripture, still ain't in Scripture, but was placed there by the false translators and you brain jackals who are proclaiming his name as was the prophets of Baal. You're going to have gate trouble when you get to affirming. You may fly in your little planes across the United States, and you may fill the stadiums up, and you may laugh all the way to the bank with your riches, and you go ahead and pile them up. But the nickel and dime boys that know the truth, and they know that Pastor Buddy is only preaching for the love of the truth, which is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, I'm going to proclaim it to the day I die. And then in the resurrection that is to come, if I tarry till he comes, well and good. If I don't, then well and good. For to die is gain. And those that are dead in the second resurrection, blessed are those that have part in the first one. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And your part is with the bride and the bridegroom as she travailed and brought forth sons and daughters for the second resurrection. And only them that are the children, the sheep, the star children, if you will, born from above, not below. Oh, yes, they're born from the below every day, but they'll stay below. And those that think that they're going to heaven will have gate trouble, for in that day, like I say, he'll say, you'll hear it said, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not in the true, unadulterated truth and the great name of the King, you're going to have gate trouble, serious gate trouble, when you say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Well, they were wicked servants also there that had to depart. That's you Israelites sitting here that won't support Pastor Buddy. You're a wicked servant. You don't believe in putting your money to the money changers for the exchange of souls and revelations. You're content to sit on top of your little pile, but let it be known you won't take none with you. Some smart person will come along and write the check for the amount, throw it in your casket, and you'll burn with it. In the day of judgment, you'll regret it that you didn't support the Shepherd's Call ministry with Pastor Buddy. I ought to get a ton of support. I ought to have hours, not hour, to preach this divine covenant revelation. I could preach on this for 20 days, and a half of it wouldn't be told, and I could never run down. I'd get started in preaching. I want to preach for 3 or 4 hours. Yet I'm restricted. My mouth is silenced. In 59 minutes, I'm gone. And the voice will lay silent. And then the people will push the message back or cut it off or change the channel because they heard Pastor Buddy say something derogatory about their God. Well, Elijah went up on the Mount Carmel and he said a lot of things derogatory about that all the prophets that was up there in that denominational system, and he put a challenge out to them. If Yahweh, he didn't say Lord, he didn't say God. He said Yahweh. Everywhere you see capital letter, L-O-R-D. Come on, preachers. Preach with me here tonight. Come on. You supporters of the truth that have got the means and the funds to support Pastor Buddy. Little poor widow women. Women that have been deserted by their sorry, low-down husbands. Send me their hard-earned money to support this gospel. Contrary husbands that wouldn't give me air if they had me in a jug. Some of these brave, valiant women, as was Abigail of the Holy Covenant, as she went beyond the call of duty, defying her husband, packed the mule with the provisions for a great man of God to supply his needs. Elijah went down to the widow woman and demanded the last hoe cake, or the first one, and she never had the last one. And that shows you the prophet of supporting the prophets of Yah. If I'm preaching you the truth, prove it to me that you love it. And send in your tithes and offerings, and I will assure you, I don't drive a Cadillac. I don't drive a big fancy car, and I sure don't fly in an airplane. I haven't been one of them since 1956. And haven't got any urge to go. My ministry can go around the world with my voice through the power of WWCR. I only got 1 hour. What if somebody out there can afford? Why don't you put me on another hour? Would you like for Pastor Buddy to be on Sunday night 2 hours straight and you could get 120 minutes of this powerful stuff? Ladies and gentlemen, it's just like floor soap. It'll get you clean if you'll get in the Word. It's powerful. It's a real thing, and I'm not talking about Coca-Cola. I'm talking about the truth of the gospel from everlasting. My time is just slid out from under me. And that's what I'm saying. Here I'm going to preach, and now I'm going to have to get off. And I'm going to sit here and wait on your telephone call. And if you've got any breath, if you've got any spiritual integrity, you know Pastor Buddy's preaching the truth tonight, why not call? If the phone's busy, don't get disappointed, because a lot of times we get flooded with calls. But I have voicemail. If you'll just leave me a quick message, don't stay on there and ramble about this. Just leave a telephone number. I'll call you back on my nickel at the appropriate time, when I get time. I'll be on the phone till midnight here. But you can be one of those callers if you'd like to call. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would write Pastor Buddy, that's all you got to have. Pastor Buddy. If you want to make out a check and include it, just say Pastor Buddy. That's all you got to have. Put on the check, Pastor Buddy. And well, I mean, mine's just in cash, but if you do, then put us a little offering in there. Just don't tell us you love us and you enjoy the show. Why don't you support it and get Dr. Gary and Pastor Buddy and all of the Shepherd's Call supporters. Give us more time by just sending $1,000 to WWCR of the gift money that has been mailed directly to us. $1,000. Man, I was just so thankful that I could mail the station $1,000. You see, they don't operate on faith. They operate on cash. And we don't operate on faith. We have faith. And that's why that we pay cash. Because we put our money where our mouth is, along with the supporters of the Shepherd's Call. And we're thankful for those. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Everybody says, Pastor Buddy, you just machine gun those words out. We can't write fast enough, and we didn't get high from some people call me. I apologize. Pastor Buddy, that's all you need. My last name's not important. The great name that I proclaim is very important. I put it up there. Buddy is my nickname. That's not even my real name. But I'm not adding my name. I'm proud to be a Yahwist that proclaims the whole truth. If you want my real name, I can give it to you. If you want my street address, I can give it to you. If you want my telephone number, I can give it to you. I'm not afraid to preach the gospel. I've been threatened, intimidated, and tried to intimidate. You can't intimidate the Holy Ghost. They don't fear to stop the violence of threats, murder, envy, jealousy, spite. It will. Well, man, I feel like preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and preach the gospel. Wow. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now, my telephone number, area code, 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to get on my website, and some of the brothers have reminded me to give out my website more often, and I appreciate being called to do that. With joy, I give you my website. There's tons and tons of information. www.pastorbuddy.com. Just buddy at netcommander.com. That's my email if you'd like to send an email and you're listening to us and you have those capabilities. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see that we've got about 2 minutes here to get on with the program. So tonight, I would bless you in the great name of Yah. I send you magnanimous, magnificent greetings. Thank you for all your love and your redneck support. My, what a word I've used tonight. I dare not call the enemy redneck because they ain't. But I do dare to call those who are my friends and brothers in Star Joy. They are. They're the blushing tribe of Jacob. They're ready. And the red. that shows it in the face. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you on down the road with a part two, or part four, rather. This is part three tonight of the first resurrection. Part four, next Sunday night. Tune in. Don't miss it. I'll give you some good stuff tonight. I love you. Praise God.